The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you, everyone. If you guys are out in the back, come on in. We're going to get started. I always love this time to kind of see everybody coming in, especially when we're to see family kind of greeting each other. But I want to start off the service different. If you know anything about our church, things switch up constantly. And we constantly try to keep things on, keep people and things on their toes. And so, thank you. And so as we get started, I kind of wanted to start us off with thinking about this last week. Unless you've had your head buried in the sand, you've heard about everything that's gone on over the last week. You've heard about multiple shootings. You've heard about police officers being shot. You've heard about so many things happening in so many different ways. And so I wanted to kind of tell you from my experience where I am and who I am. As you guys just can come on in, but I want you to kind of hear from my experience where I am and who I am, because I think God has placed me in a very unique position, and I kind of want to give that to you. Just to think through. Here we go. I'm black. I don't know if you guys noticed that. Yeah, I know. It's a surprise to some. It happens. Sometimes on Facebook, people freak out about that, but I'm black. So I grew up the son of a law enforcement officer. My father's a law enforcement officer, and he taught me a very valuable lesson when I was very young. If you are Caucasian in the room, you may not have heard this lesson, but if you're of African, especially African-American, you've heard this lesson. And a few of you guys that have stayed with me before have heard me talk about this. But my dad, who's a law enforcement officer, taught me a very simple lesson, which was when I first started riding around with my sister in her car and started driving myself and doing different things, he told me a few things not to do. And so after dark, even to this day, after dark, I keep my wallet and usually on my dashboard or somewhere off to the side so my hands can always be visible. I always say yes, sir, no, sir. I always shut off my car if I ever get pulled over. I do all of these things in order to avoid a lot of the situations we saw these last week. The problem with that is that though I followed those procedures most times, when I heard about what happened this week with the two men being shot, I immediately thought to myself two things. One, that could have been one of the students I know from Lincoln's campus. And two, I could have and probably should have been me. Then the protest happened. We all know about the protest. And it reminded me of when I was younger, because I saw a lot of the law enforcement officers walking alongside the protesters, protecting them, helping them out. And I know that their families are doing the same thing I did. My dad worked at Kansas State Penitentiary. And so when there was a prison break or there was a prison riot, my dad would go in. So when everybody else was leaving, my dad was going into the prison to help quell everything. He was on the SWAT team. He was one of the commandos that ran in and kicked butt and did all kinds of stuff. And I knew the same. I knew that the thoughts and prayers of those families were the same of my thoughts and prayers as a child when I heard about a prison riot or a prison break, which is God protect my father. Five men weren't protected and didn't come back home. I was fortunate enough that my father came home every single time. The last week, it didn't happen for five other people. And so I've seen and I've been on both sides of this issue. And all my life, we're on both sides of the issue. And matter of fact, I had to log off of Facebook, and I would recommend a lot of y'all do the same thing, because we get real brave behind a keyboard, but when it comes to face-to-face interactions, we get real wussified. And we have the opportunity to lean in and actually say something that matters. And so I put this on Facebook this morning via our Soma page. I've been putting it out there for a while, but Black Lives Matter is great. Blue Lives Matter is great. All Lives Matter. Every life matter. Fine. Great, great, great. But the thing that really matters is the Imago Dei, the image of God that is on each and every person's soul. And here's the thing. If you're not a Christian, what I just said didn't make any sense. You're like, oh, who cares about the image of God? But if you're a Christ follower, then you understand the importance. You understand the inherent importance of us reflecting and helping people understand what it looks like to be an image bearer of God. And see what happens in this moment, and this is the answer that we have as Christians that the rest of the world does not. What happens is that people feel like their God-given image is being stripped away from them when they're being reduced down to a hashtag, when they're being pulled out of their cars or shot in the street as they're protecting the very people that are protesting them. They feel like the image of God is being stripped away from them. And here's the thing. Whenever that happens, you war against it. So young ladies, here's something that maybe you can help me with. When you're out and about and maybe you're wearing a sundress and looking pretty and some guy catcalls you, how does that make you feel? If you could see the faces I see, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're all of a sudden like, oh, I feel horrible. When some guy's going, ooh, and he reduces you to the sum of your parts, how do you feel? Well, see, what just happened to you in that moment is the image of God has been stripped away from your soul. You're being reduced to something that you're not. You are a woman. You are image bearer of God. You are made in his image, and that's being stripped away from you. And so what happens at that moment as a woman, from what I understand, because I'm not going to say I am one, but what happens is in that moment, you start to well up and get angry. And you may kind of tap it down in your soul or do something else, but in you, there's this anger that wells up, and it's a righteous anger. In the same way that when people have the image of God stripped from their soul, whether police officers, whether black, brown, white, whatever, we well up and we want to fight. The problem is that our nation doesn't know what they're fighting for or against. They just know they need to fight. It's inherent when you've had the nature of God and the image of God stripped off your soul. And so here's what I'm going to ask us to do. I'm going to ask us to do a few things. We're going to do a confession here in a second, but I just want to tell you this. As Christians, we are to be marked by two things, love and authenticity. We're to be marked in a community that I see right here that makes me so happy to see, especially in the midst of everything going on in our nation right now, to see a community like this makes me so happy. To hear the children makes me so joyous. But here's the thing, guys. That's not just it. It doesn't end there. We have to be marked by authenticity. That means when somebody is weeping, you got to weep with them as a brother and sister in Christ. When somebody's hurting, you hurt with them. When somebody is having a party, we party with them because we want to have joy alongside them. Authenticity is the apologetic of our day. And unless we are authentic in everything we do, none of this matters. We as Christ followers are the only ones with the answer. So two things I'm going to beg of you to do, especially in our context, is to be authentic and to be loving. And the part that I had to beg you guys to come in here shows me how loving you really are. Oh, she can scream. It's okay. I'd rather hear that in a cell phone any day, right? And so that's what we need you to do, is just be loving. Continue to love each other well. Show the world that there's something bigger and better and more transformative than just your skin color. And also let people know that there is authenticity within the body of Christ. There's authenticity in people who know and love each other, because that is the apologetic of our day. If you're looking to meet young people, that's who they are, and that's where they are. You're looking to meet our society that's hurting right now, that's where they are. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask us to do a confession together, in where it's bold, and I'm going to ask everybody here to read aloud. And where it is just a regular print, I'm going to read by myself. But I'm going to ask you to read it with some conviction, because here's the thing. Where we're silent, we're complicit in this. And we have an obligation as Christ followers to speak up. We have the obligation to speak into this. And so I'm going to back up a little bit, and Mark's going to put this up, and I'm going to start reading through it. Again, where it's bold, I'm going to ask you to read with me. We confess our own complicity in the status quo that perpetrates racism, divides, and distorts humanity. Together. As we pray, we ask you to help us discover our true rightful place in the new humanity created in Christ Jesus. We confess that we have sinned, we have fallen short of the glory of God. We confess our failures to speak against injustice. We confess those times when, as individuals and as churches, we have witnessed the fracturing of humanity along ethnic grounds, yet remain silent. We confess those times when we have been the powerful ones and have chosen to withhold the power whilst another human suffered. We confess the sins of racist exclusion. May those of us who ourselves experienced exclusion be the first to speak up for others. May we be those who create spaces of reconciliation. We pray for our churches. May they become places of reconciliation where each human soul is valued and where equality in Christ is a reality of our midst. Forgive us those times where we do not live out our calling as your people. May our churches model the new humanity of Christ to those in those communities where we live. We pray for our communities. Where there is division, may we bring restoration. Where there is inequality, may we bring justice. Where there is powerlessness, may we lift up the brokenhearted. Where there is damage, may we bring healing. Loving and forgiving God, hear our confession. Hear our desires of our hearts to be different. Grant us your forgiveness and remake us according to the likeness of Christ. And all those who agree, amen. Romans 12 and 2 Chronicles 7 are two chapters that really don't match up a lot. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we see around Independence Day every year. Notice it wasn't here, and you probably will never hear it here on that day. Not that it's horrible, but it actually applies to the nation of Israel and in God's people. And so I'm really kind of a stickler about that. But here's why I say that. I say that because it actually talks about if God's people called by his name humble themselves and pray, and it talks about God's people. It doesn't talk about America. It doesn't talk about our nation. It talks about God's people. So that verse applies now. If we humble ourselves and pray, you juxtapose that with Romans 12 that says you're to weep with those who are weeping. You're to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. You're to feel and empathize the pain of those around you, believer and non-believer alike. And here's the thing I will tell you for everybody on every side. I get it. Facts matter. Due process will happen. Facts will come out. But I need you to weep with those who are weeping. I need you to hurt with those who are hurting. I need you to say and tell them, you're an image bearer of the Most High God. And I may not get it. And I may not have ever been there. I've never been pulled out of a car at gunpoint. I've never been thrown on the ground or arrested or any of those things, which, by the way, your pastor has. So I can tell you how that feels. Maybe those things haven't happened to you, but I'm asking you to weep with me. Or maybe you haven't been on the other side where your father is out there or your mother's out there protecting people that hate him, protecting them from themselves, getting shot at, dodging bullets, and still trying to protect those around him. I've been there. Let me tell you about it. I'm asking you to weep with those who are weeping. And when you have something to rejoice, man, we want to party because we have something to party about. And when you have something to uplift in prayer, we want to do that. And so as Jake comes up here and plays, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you guys a few minutes, and I'm going to ask you to find some people around you and just spend some time in prayer. And if there's something that's going on in your life that you want to share, then share it. And here's the thing. If you're a first timer and you're like, this is all weird, I don't even know what to do, just sit there and stare at me awkwardly, and that's fine, okay? I'll stare back at you. We'll make eye contact. It'll be real weird, okay? But for those of you guys that are regular, like if this is home for you, I want you to find somebody that you know or don't know, and I want you to spend some time praying. And here's the reason the kids are in here, because we got to show them. Because if they don't know, this will never move forward. And we're just kicking the can down the road for another generation to deal with the same kind of crap. And so this is your opportunity. We're going to spend the next few minutes where you guys are going to find groups, 3, 4, 5 people, and pray, lament, reflect, remember the names of the people that went through this week. Remember an Alton Sterling. Remember Philando. Remember the five officers that lost their life protecting people. Remember the multiple other people that never get heard of, that never get talked about, and the families that are weeping right now because they're spending another Sunday without somebody they love. Let's spend that time. Father God, we weep. We weep and we lament because you do. We hurt because you do, because image bearers of you are in this world and don't know which way's up. And so, Father, before we enter into our gathering or our worship time or anything, we just come before you with our hands open saying, we need you. Lord, we need you. We open our hands and say, guide us, empower us, help us to know what we need to do. Father, we are a nation in crisis. We are a people in crisis. But what we do know is that we are all image bearers of you. And so help us to reflect that authentic love to this world and show the world that you may be taking us where we don't want to go, but you are still God and you are still good. Father, we need you. And we know in your brokenness, you gave us life. And so we come to you, thanking you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. And so here's what we're going to do to end this time. We're going to take communion. Because why not start off a church sermon with communion? And what we're going to do is what we do every time at the end of the service is the culmination of it. But parents, I want us to reflect to our children what the reality of this is. And so if you're not a believer, here's what I ask you to do. Don't come down here. Don't worry about this. This is really good grape juice and really dry bread. It sits in a box all week, so it's not the greatest. You're just going to have cotton mouth. But for the believer, this is an important time, right? This is remembering the broken body of Christ. This is remembering that he on the cross was broken for you and I because of our sins. And that he shed his blood so that when we look at the Father, and when the Father looks at us, he sees Christ's blood covering us. And so we realize in this moment that we are in a broken world with broken people, with broken things, and Christ was broken for us. And the only solution this world has is Jesus' blood covering it. And that is what this table represents for us. And so before we go into anything, we want to take time just taking communion, remembering Christ's broken body and his shed blood. Here's the thing. If you're not a believer, stay. Nobody's going to judge you. We're not going to stare at you awkwardly like I just did. We're not going to do any of that stuff, right? We want you just to see the believers taking this meal and understanding how important it is to us to reflect the Imago Dei to this world. And then after that, we're going to worship, spend time raising hands and praising Jesus. Kids, ask your parents if this is something you should do. Don't just come down here and take a piece of bread because it's free. Ask your mom, ask your dad, ask your caretaker if this is something you should do. And if this is, then you come down with them. But when you're ready, the table's open for you to come.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.